The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to Wine, Food and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Listen in as we journey to some of Italy's most beautiful places in the company of those who know them best, the families who grow grapes and make fabulous wines. Through their stories, we will learn not just about their wines, but also about their ways of life, the local and regional foods and specialities that pair naturally with their wines, and the most beautiful places to visit. We have a wonderful journey of discovery ahead of us, and I hope you will join me. Welcome to Wine, Food and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Today it's my pleasure to travel to Le Marche, to the wine hills of the Castelli di Ese and Monte Conero, to meet my guest today, Michele Bernetti of the Umone Ronchi Winery in Osimo Scalo, not far from Ancona. Good morning, Michele. Thanks so much for being my guest. And how are you today?
Good morning, Mark. I'm very well. It's a gorgeous day, so I feel very, very good. Thank you.
Oh, good. I'm picturing that beautiful sunshine in Le Marche now. Now, Michele, Umone Ronche has recently been named the Winery of the Year 2024 by the prestigious Gambero Rosso. So I just wanted to pass on our congratulations. Magnificent achievement and a recognition for your family's hard work and dedication.
Yes, thank you. It's been a big surprise, the first time that such an achievement arrived in this region, in Marche, and we'll be really enthusiastic to open, the series, and it has been really, really nice.
Yeah, great, a great achievement. Now, Michele, for our listeners who are located all around the world, I'd like you to describe where you are, to describe the Castelli di Ese and Monte Conero. I know they're two distinct wine zones in close proximity, but I just want to have a brief description to give our listeners, so they can picture in their minds, this beautiful countryside of Le Marche. It's one of my favorite regions.
Yes, of course, we live here, so I think it's easier to enjoy and to describe in a very positive way. But I think it's, first of all, it's a fantastic place to live in, because still the lifestyle and the way that we approach in general life is very positive and still very in some ways authentic. So I think it's a very authentic Italian part of the peninsula. From a geographical point of view, it's Marche is basically hilly with mountains with the Apennines, that are bordering the region on the west part. And then you have these hills going from the Apennines, or from west, and declining towards the Adriatic Sea on the east. And only 3% of the territory is flat. So it's very, very hilly. Basically, it's mountains on the western part, and mostly it's hill. They are very gentle hills, which in some ways is quite typical and common in central Italy. But compared to, for instance, Tuscany, where you have hills that are covered by bush or by small kind of forest, or maybe not even cultivated, here everything is very, very much cultivated. So it's kind of little garden or agricultural garden with a pattern of different type of cultivations, and makes the territory very, very nice. The second point is the small village that are spread atop of almost every major hills. These medieval, usually they are kind of medieval castles around which the village has been grown through the centuries. And this is also the reason why we call the Castelli di Ese in the case of Verdicchio, because really the area is characterized by these small villages, very nice, very well preserved at top of the hill.
Okay, that's a very, very good description. And I think one of the points you mentioned, Michele, is this patchwork of different cultivations. This isn't an area of monoculture, of single-minded, only vines, but you do see lots of other cultivation crops grown. And it makes it a very beautiful and gentle
landscape going down as these hills ripple down towards the Adriatic Sea, with Monte Cornaro sort of standing alone as this little mountain that rises directly from the sea.
Yeah, exactly. We call it Bonten, in effect, but if you consider the altitude, which is around 600 meters, just below 600 meters, it's kind of big hill. But because exactly as you described, with this big hill coming straight out of the water, sometimes we describe as a whale navigating. If you see it from a distance, looks like a whale navigating in the Adriatic. It really looks like a mountain, especially when you approach from the seaside. It's a natural park, which is going to be soon a national natural park. Basically, the vineyards are cultivated in the hills surrounding the park, the top of the peak of the mountain, where is more bush, more wild. And it's an area where really the proximity to the sea characterizes the viticulture very, very much.
Okay, that's another very good description. This little mini mountain rising sharply from the sea below Ancona.
Excellent.
Now, I visited Umani Ronchi many, many years ago. My goodness, it's more than 30 years ago. It was in 1989 or 1990. I met your father, Dr. Massimo Vernetti, when I was researching my book, The Wine Roads of Italy.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from your dad. I learned a lot about how your family was instrumental in really raising the profile for the Verdicchio dei Castelli d'Iesi, and in particular, the creation of select single vineyard wines. And I just want to read a comment your father said to me. This is in my book, and it was published in 1991, so we're going back 30 years ago, because it was a new development, the cru wines. But your father said, the market was ready for this development. 15 years ago, it was impossible to see Verdicchio in anything but the amphora. If you had suggested a cru Verdicchio or a Rosso Conero aged in barrique, people here would have thought you were crazy. So that was, as I say, 30 years ago, and times have certainly changed since then, and in no small part due to the efforts of your family and of other families who have really been pioneers in putting these two areas, Castelli d'Iesi and Conero, on the wine map of Italy, and indeed of the world. So can you tell us a little bit about your family story and the story of Umani Ronchi?
Well, thank you. Yes, in effect, really, I think the second part of the 80s probably has been a moment where there's been a strong evolution towards what has been we've been seeing in the previous years. But Umani Ronchi started its activity in a little village in Cupramontana, which is a small historical village at the center of the Castelli d'Iesi area. So it's really where it's one of the capital of Verdicchio dei Castelli d'Iesi. And the company was started by Mr. Gino Umani Ronchi, who was the founder. But very, very few years after the foundation, my grandfather from my mother's side joined the business because he was very passionate in agriculture. But as my father, who just married my mother, Annalisa, asked my father, Massimo, to join the company and learn something in that business, maybe temporary was some. But my father enjoyed the business so much that he decided to stay. So I say at first was kind of temporary activity just to settle the business and then to let it go on his own, but enjoyed the business and the activity and the wine, the wine business so much that he decided to stay. And eventually, Mr. Umani Ronchi moved to Rome at the beginning of the 60s, and we became entirely proprietor of the winery. My family became entirely proprietor of the winery and decided to maintain the original name, Umani Ronchi. And we moved the major cellar in Osimo, that's where I'm talking from, which is, like you said before, is very close to Ancona, which is the capital of Le Marche. And since then, Umani Ronchi developed. We started with very few bottles, especially mainly with the Verdicchio and very, very little of Rosso Conero. And nowadays, Umani Ronchi is a company that sells wine in basically the five continents, in 60 countries. definitely has opened many, many roads with wines from market.
Okay, that's a very, very good overview. And I think it is interesting to consider the evolution of Verdicchio from those earliest days and then my conversations with your father 30 years ago. And so successful, I think, have the wines from the Castelli d'Asi in particular been that there's probably a generation of wine drinkers who have probably never even encountered Verdicchio in the amphora bottle. Do you think fondly back on those days, on that bottle? And is there still a place for simple Verdicchio, perhaps to enjoy by the seaside with a plate of spaghetti coi moscioli in Porto Novo?
I see that you know very well the great food of the area. I think one of the characters of Verdicchio is to be a very versatile varietal. Of course, my opinion is the best expression of this grape is when you age, and particularly in this territory, you're capable to make wines, white wines that have an incredible aging capability, which is very surprising sometimes to, and very unexpected to people that don't know this varietal very well. But when it's young, I think especially with younger version, without pushing too much on concentration and richness, the wine retains some beautiful salinity, sapidity that makes the wine very, very enjoyable when it's younger. Of course, it's not a very aromatic grape, but I think the best part, the best way to appreciate is on the palate, on the flavor of the wine, or its capacity to refresh on the palate and to be very palatable white wine.
Michele, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Verdicchio is such a versatile wine, and it's able to be produced in so many different styles and indeed quality levels, from the simpler wines to enjoy perhaps by the beach with wonderful seafood in summer, to the richer, fuller, more structured cru wines that are more serious and important. Indeed, Umani Ronche has been instrumental in pioneering this concept of cru wines. And your wines have long been popular on export markets in particular. I know here in the UK, for example, that Casal di Serra is one of the most popular of your wines here amongst lovers of Verdicchio. So I wonder if you could perhaps tell us a little bit about this wine, Casal di Serra from Serra dei Conti.
Yeah, because actually the wine is mainly sourced in the Serra dei Conti vineyard. Serra dei Conti is one of the Castello di Asi municipalities, village, a very nice place, and that's where we have one of the original vineyards. Since 1983, around 40 vintages ago, my father decided to start the production of a selection of Verdicchio. So rather than insisting in producing a more commercial style sold in amphora, I decided to make a selection from one of the best vineyard in our property at the time, and to bottle the wine in a Burgundy bottle, which is considered a kind of classic bottle, rather than an amphora bottle. That was the one that has been used for so many years by us, by all the producers of the area. This proved to be very successful. The people started to appreciate, especially in markets that were more sensitive to quality, adventurous in trying something different. I remember the UK, for instance, was one of the first markets where Casal di Serra was introduced since the beginning. It has been a great success, and still is, because it still is one of the wines that we sell with more success, and they really reflect the offer of our winery, our cellar.
Okay, so that was a real groundbreaking wine, as you say, a move away from this popular and fun bottle, the amphora. Do you still bottle in amphora at all?
Basically not. We have only customers in Japan that still want, but basically we have completely abandoned the...
Okay.
Italian Wine Podcast. If you think you love wine as much as we do, then give us a like and a follow anywhere you get your pods.
Now, one other wine I'd like to learn about, I don't know this wine, but I know it was mentioned in a special citation in the Gambero Rosso Award, is your historical 2018.
Yes. That's a very new product. It's a new project in general. That is, we've been working many years in releasing a wine, a Verdicchio Classico, quite a few years after, past the vintage. And we found the right conditions in 2018. So we decided to keep separate and to separate a special part, special portion of Vecchie Vigne, the old vines vineyard in Monte Carotto. The must was fermented in stainless steel tanks. Then we aged quite a few months in concrete. And then we rack again in special, smaller stainless steel tanks. And we released a few months ago the 2018 vintage. All the effort put in this wine is in the elegance rather than strength. We have a motto at the winery that says grandi vini ma non grossi vini. You know, can be translated in great wines but not big wines. And this is really, I think, an expression of this philosophy, a wine that really hits on the elegance, the finesse of the grape. And I think it's really a great expression of this.
Okay, that's really interesting. And the lengthy aging in stainless steel, not in wood.
Yeah, no wood. It's just concrete and stainless steel tanks. It's long time on the yeast, on fine lees. We try not to go through malolactic fermentation, so to keep the freshness even higher. And actually, it's very, very nice. Very nice wine.
What does concrete bring to a wine like this?
Well, concrete is interesting because I think it makes the wine... definitely breathes slightly more than stainless steel that tend to bring a kind of more reductive character. And the concrete tend to open up the wine a little bit more. And I think with the Verdicchio in particular, that is not very aromatic grape. It's not like a Pinot Bianco. No. I think it's very beneficial because it tend to open the nose a little bit more and to add slightly more complexity into the wine.
Okay, thank you. Now, I know you make a full range of other Verdicchi, but I'd like to turn to Rosso Conero, a much smaller zone. Tell us a little bit about your Rosso Conero and perhaps your Cru San Lorenzo.
Yes, the Rosso Conero is, as I say, is one of the oldest appellation from Marche. It was established in 1967, and we've been, since the beginning, one of the most important producers. We have also quite an important estate in terms of number of vineyards. We cover around 60 to or around 65, 70 hectares in the area, which is an area which total counts about 350, 370 hectares in total. So we've been believing in this varietal very much. I consider the Conero a kind of a little Cru within the Montepulciano growing area, because Montepulciano is definitely a big growing area. It starts down in the south in Puglia. Of course, the major center and the heart is in Abruzzo for Montepulciano d'Abruzzo, but the northest place where you grow Montepulciano normally is Conero, is the northest latitude. And this can be combined with the proximity to the sea makes the wines obtained in this area very different, very nice, very elegant. The temperature doesn't exceed too much in the summer. Maybe we don't have big alternance between day and night, thermal excursions, but this helps to make a very steady growing and makes the wine maybe less powerful than in Abruzzo, the Montepulciano grown here, but very elegant, very fine. And this is kind of a character that we try to reflect, translate in our wines. And San Lorenzo definitely is one of these wines, was created for the first vintage in 1982, almost the same time than when we released Casal di Serra. And it's a wine which sees an aging in part in large cask and part in smaller barrels that have been used for the top wines for a few years, so kind of used French oak barrels, and normally it's released within a couple of years from the harvest.
Okay, that's a very good explanation of Rosso Conero, as you say, the northernmost expression of Montepulciano. Now, we've been talking about the versatility of Verdicchio, and also in wines we have both great white as well as great red wines. But Le Marche is also a place that's very versatile food-wise, because we have gastronomy that comes from this wonderful wealth of seafood and shellfish from the Adriatic, but also moving into the hills and into the mountains, there's a completely different cuisine. Can you perhaps tell us a little bit about the cuisine of Le Marche, of your area, and how your wines pair well with some of the piatti tipici that our listeners could sample when they visit?
Okay, yes, with pleasure. I think Marche is really definitely two faces in food, which is the part by the sea where we have some of the most important fishing ports in Italy. San Benedetto del Tronto, Ancona, Fano in the north are very, very important for the fishing fleet. And the Adriatic is despite the fact of being a kind of a shallow, relatively shallow water, but because of this, makes very tasty, flavorful fish. And there's always been a long tradition in making kind of recipes that are never too heavy. They're quite delicate with a large use of vegetables in the recipes along with the fish, because of traditionally the ancient fishermen were people that were cultivating some piece of land and they were going and fishing. So it's kind of a mixing of matching the two products. I can name something you mentioned before is the spaghetti or pasta, but normally spaghetti with moscioli. With moscioli is the local name for mussels. They grow here, they grow wild in the cliffs around the Monte Coro, and because of this reason, they're very, very tasty because they grow in open sea. So they really taste, this marine taste is very strong. Other preparation, which is the brodetto, which is the fish soup, is kind of a much lighter bouillabaisse. As plain, and of course, is the fried of the small size fish is delicious and fantastic to be enjoyed with the verdicchio. More inland, you have a lot of use of pasta, homemade pasta, so fresh pasta. Tagliatelle, ravioli, passatelle are very, very typical, and they're normally prepared with meat sauce, which is again quite typical in the inland territories.
So you've got a range of foods that pair perfectly with verdicchio, and then moving inland to some of the meat dishes, perhaps the coniglio in porchetta.
Yeah, yes.
Goose cooked in potacchio, and of course that vinci scrassi, that wonderful lasagna type pasta. It's one of the great cuisines of Italy, I think. I really enjoy my visits to Le Marche. And of course, these wines such as Rosso Conero pair so perfectly with the foods from the inland. I hope our listeners will travel to Le Marche because, as you said at the beginning, it's still relatively undiscovered compared to some of the other areas of Italy. And one of the great attractions of many reasons to come is this wonderful food paired with the local wines.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It is, definitely.
Now, Michele, let's turn to wine hospitality. At Umani Ronchi, there are a number of ways for our listeners to discover your wines. Can you tell us about wine hospitality?
Yes, we have, this is a relatively new project that we started a few years ago, managing directly one of our property, which is an hotel in Ancona, in the center, in the ancient part of Ancona, just in front of the ancient port. And there we opened a wine bar, which is of course characterized by a lot of all the Umani Ronchi assortment, but also some other wines from some of our friends around Italy and around the world, which is called Why Not. But also from there, we organized a visit to the winery. And even if you don't sleep in the place, the visits are very much possible here. They're very well organized. We have tours, itineraries, the Verdicchio area, and itineraries in the Conero area, so in both areas. We organize the Verdicchio Safari, which is conducted with an old Land Rover, going around the vineyards and tasting the wines through the itinerary. So we built a very, very interesting platform to visit and to make the visit of the wine territories more accessible and enjoyable.
Okay, well, that sounds very good. I know our listeners enjoy visiting places that they hear about here, and I hope some will find their way to you. It's interesting how wine hospitality has evolved since I last visited you as well. It's an important part of the experience. It's an important way that we listeners and our listeners can really gain a more full and deeper understanding of an area. Michele, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been great to catch up with the story of your family and the Umani Ronchi Winery. Congratulations again for the fabulous Gambero Rosso Award, and please send my best wishes to your father.
Yes, thank you. You will remember your visit.
Well, thank you, and I hope you have a great day. Thanks again for being my guest.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. I hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe right here or wherever you get your pods. Likewise, you can visit us at italianwinepodcast.com. Until next time, chin chin.